Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
People banging pans and making noise and pinching their dogs to make them howl at the eclipse. And an anthropologist asked him about this and said, are you chasing away the demons with your noise? And one respondent said, no, we're not chasing away the demons. We're trying to get the sun's attention.
In Judaism, human actions have consequences. And so when the rabbis in the Talmud experienced the darkness of a solar eclipse, they thought it was a curse and asked what could have led to this frightening event.
I think that a major earthquake or a plague or meteorite strikes are being foretold. Is that what I'm prophesying? No. I'm just saying that's entirely possible.
Some religious leaders speaking on a recent National Public Radio story titled The Role of Solar Eclipses in Religion. Well, I stood out at the fairgrounds of the small town where I live in southern Illinois, right in the path of totality yesterday. I wouldn't call it a religious experience, although my wife was at home and happened to watch the solar eclipse with our mailman, who just so happened to be stopped in front of our house to observe the event. And he had a religious experience, at least by his own explanation. I mean, people considered it, well, deeply moving or emotional. Well, is there any religious significance to something like the moon passing over the face of the sun in broad daylight? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Tuesday afternoon, August the 22nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about religious explanations for the total solar eclipse. Ken Samples of Reasons to Believe will be our guest in the first half hour. We're going to spend some time with Joy Pullman of The Federalist talking about two issues. The desecration of political monuments. She says there are huge differences between the civil rights movement and the protests that we're seeing that are both desecrating and removing monuments to American history. We'll also talk about the transgender agenda for your children's school with Joy Pullman. Pastor Tom Baker will join us to teach a Sunday school lesson, Peter's reinstatement in John chapter 21. And then Professor Stephen Parks joins us to continue our series on responding to Roman Catholic proof text today. Does 1 Corinthians 3:15 teach the Roman Catholic teaching of purgatory? You can join us over the next 2 hours with your questions or your comments. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about religious explanations for the total solar eclipse, Ken Samples. He's a research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California, and author of several books, including God Among the Sages, Why Jesus is Not Just Another Religious Leader, and A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test. Ken, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hello, Todd. Good to be with you.
What makes the Christian's approach to events like total solar eclipse unique among the world's many religions, both today and ancient?
Yeah, I think that it's important to appreciate that worldviews really are the prism by which we make sense of life in the world. So we see the natural world through the prism of our worldview. So when you look at the ancient Mesopotamians, the Egyptians, they see, the world alive with spirits, animism, and so they relate these cosmic events to various physical type creatures and spirits, etc. I think as well when you look at Hinduism, again the idea of polytheism and various elements, Judaism tends to look at it in moral terms. I noticed in some of the articles I read that, maybe this is a time of moral reflection on the part of the Jews. And so I think that one of the differences that is profound, Todd, is that you know, Christianity believes that God is the creator of the world. That's right at the beginning of our Apostles' Creed, our Nicene Creed. We believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, that Christians are to see creation as demonstrating the glory and the power of God, recognizing that science really emerged from a Christian worldview and has value in purpose. And I think that we're able to see that, you know, when the moon passes in front of the sun and, you know, most places it was not a 100% eclipse, so you couldn't see maybe the darkness that you would see at specific places, but this is a glorious kind of testimony to God's power and the design and purpose in the world. Of course, you know, unfortunately, at least from my vantage point, you know, there are some Christians who see it, everything almost in apocalyptic terms, and I think sometimes that's excessively speculative and less than what Scripture says. But I think to answer your question, I think we see the glory of God demonstrated in creation, and that human beings are made in the image of God and can appreciate the kinds of things that God has created.
Then let's talk about kind of those worldviews as they often intersect with religions, beginning with those ancient ones. How would ancient religions, thinking here of some of them largely pagan, many of them polytheist, some of them panentheist, how would they explain something as unexplainable to the ancient mind, perhaps, as what the world witnessed yesterday in the total solar eclipse?
Right, yeah. Well, again, in the ancient world, in Egypt, in Mesopotamia, you have beliefs in many gods. You have beliefs that the spirits interact with nature itself. And so some of them would see an event like this as, you know, some kind of animal that is blocking the sun, or it would be seen as a sign of, you know, the king or the pharaoh would be killed. And so they would often see it in terms of that kind of religious perspective, that their polytheism or their animistic belief that the natural world is filled with spirits would be the kind of optic in which appropriately, in the case of an eclipse, they really do see it through their worldview and their interpretation. And if the world is alive, and if the world is, you know, has dragons and various issues, that's how they would see these natural events, as supernatural events within nature itself.
Why is it in just kind of, I think we'll find this a common theme in the various religious views that we examine here. Why is it a common idea to think of these things in terms of the gods or a god being angry or warning us of some impending judgment?
Yeah, that's a good question. I noticed I noticed that if you move away from kind of the paganism, if you move away from animism and spiritism, if you move into the traditional monotheistic religions, both Judaism and Islam, particularly Islam, interpreted events like this that they are ushering in the time of the judgment. And of course, that was Muhammad's message to the Arabian people, that they had forgotten God and there is going to be the judgment. And so obedience is necessary. In the context of Judaism, one of the articles noted that, you know, this was a time for Israel to reflect on, had they turned, you know, away from the true and living God. And so in one sense, I think that you see the kind of focus, you move away from kind of polytheism, animism, lots of gods, into the more moral element of this must be an event that relates to human beings who make moral choices, and this may reflect the wrath of God. You know, I think partly it comes in that context, in that there is moral responsibility that people have. But again, it's kind of seen in apocalyptic terms, not all that different, I might add, from the way some Christians view it, as this is tied to, you know, the Olivet Discourse and strange things in the heavens. So I come back to my first point again. I think that your worldview kind of is the prism by which you look at these things, whether it's polytheism or morality or judgment.
Does that also explain why, say, in the case of Judaism, these things are often viewed as kind of mysterious omens, a riddle for man to determine why God may be causing this to happen?
I think so. I mean, Judaism and Christianity are really the two religions that really put science at the forefront. Many Jewish scholars have been some of the great scientists, and of course, the teaching in Genesis, God creating the world, there is certainly within Judaism and Christianity a sense that this is a natural world, and these are natural events. But I also think that there is that kind of element that there is a bit of a mystery to these events, and certainly when you look at something of the enormity of the sun, its heat, its power, and then to see that being eclipsed, to be blocked, I think it's easy to kind of analogously think of something more apocalyptic or something more mystical or moral taking place.
Let's talk about Islam and how the Islamic religious worldview would interpret something like this.
Yeah, I think critical to Islam, I mean, if you go back and think about Muhammad as the prophet, you know, his claim is that people had forgotten God, and God had sent him, one of many prophets that had come before, including Jesus, but Muhammad was the final prophet, and he was to draw people's attention that the future would hold a judgment, and people would not fare well in that judgment if they did not give their life in total allegiance and obedience to God. And so, you know, it's very easy, I think, to think about an event as cosmic as an eclipse being seen as dawning or foreshadowing this idea of judgment. And, you know, Todd, I think one of the reasons why Islam is very popular, certainly one of the reasons is because they have lots of kids, have lots of children, their population numbers grow. But Todd, I think one of the reasons why Islam is so popular is it's the perfect natural religion. If you achieved paradise, you did it. You disciplined yourself and you earned it. But if you go to judgment, well, you earn that as well. And so it's all about trying to be morally acceptable. Whereas, you know, in a Christian context, imagine thinking you have to face God without a mediator, without a savior. You'd have to face the stark wrath of the Lord. I think that it's easy to see that a central prism of the Islamic religion is man must face the judgment of God, and therefore, a life of strict obedience.
When Islam thinks of God, they think of God in purely arbitrary terms. Allah is arbitrarily powerful. He is arbitrarily just, even loving. That has to be very disturbing. Not knowing why God is doing something in the Islamic worldview, especially something as unmistakable as a sign like this in the heavens, must be terrifying in the end.
I certainly think that in an Islamic context, I mean, when you talk about God's sovereignty, certainly Christians talk a lot about the sovereign Lord and how God's sovereignty relates to human responsibility. But you're right, in Islam, it goes further to the place where, you know, Allah could reverse himself. He has that kind of authority or ability to simply change, you know, the orientation. It is true that the Quran has 99 names for God, and one of the names for Allah is the Loving. But, you know, I think that there is this huge conflict, and that is Allah is a single solitary God. Before he creates angels and human beings, he has no one to love. Is he desperate to create to get love? And then what about the other Quranic idea that Allah is totally independent? So, yeah, I think that these are very difficult things. And Todd, I think people like you and I who, are deeply attracted to the Reformation doctrine of sola gratia, salvation is a sole gift of God. There isn't much grace in Islam. There isn't much mercy. There isn't much, of a God who has provided forgiveness. And so grace is a wonderful way, I think, of distinguishing the unique feature of historic Christianity.
We're talking about religious explanations for the total solar eclipse on this Tuesday, August the 22nd. Ken Samples is our guest, senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California. When we come back, we'll talk about something that he mentioned earlier on, Hinduism and today's pagans. Stay tuned.
Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another owner in the night. Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another owner in the night. Blinded by the light.
Religious liberty, Christians engaging the media, the for you of Christianity, Christian marriage, the sexual revolution, the Benedict option. These are some of the topics for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $120. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
The Law Assumed Sermon, the Gospel Afterthought Sermon, the God Loves You Anyway Sermon. I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about religious explanations for the total solar eclipse. Ken Samples of Reasons to Believe is our guest. I haven't seen much of it on the media coverage because most of the media coverage was just pointing cameras at the sun. But I imagine neo-pagans today had a field day yesterday with the total solar eclipse. What would they believe about this event?
Yeah, that's good. Certainly, neo-paganism represents, in some ways, kind of a modern return to a pagan world, an association with various divinities, nature spirits, if you will. You know, in some respects, it's kind of seen as a a way of worshiping the various deities or going through rituals in light of those kinds of events. So this is a type of occultism, and again, a very close association with the natural world and with the human condition in light of that connection to nature. So I'm sure there were various incantations and various forms of purity that were practiced by people who embrace a neo-paganism.
If you believe that nature embodies the deity, or the deity is synonymous with nature, you also have to be kind of, at the very least, puzzled by something, even if you understand the science of the simple science of a solar eclipse. If you actually believe that the sun is a manifestation of deity, that the moon is, you got to come up with an explanation for that, don't you?
I think so. I mean, you know, we talk about the world's religions, you know, Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, etc. But Todd, there's a whole another category of religion, primal religion, basic religion, the Native American, Native African, Asian religions. They are deeply invested in animism, that the spirits are operative in the world, that the natural world is kind of a battleground, if you will. And who could think of anything more powerful, if you will, than the sun and the moon? And a lot of times, in a perspective of primal or basic religions, they would see these events as involving deities, and therefore somebody who would be, you know, a spiritual leader would be performing rituals to try to protect them from the negative effects of the gods. And in Hinduism, you kind of have, some scholars have said that Hinduism is not one religion, it's a set of religions. I mean, you've got Hindus who worship one god, often Krishna, but then you have Hindus who believe in 330 million gods and others that believe the natural world is God. And so this would not only be a cataclysmic event, but it would likely be an ominous event in which, you know, you need a witch doctor, if you will. You need some kind of priest who would help protect you from, you know, the battle of the deities. And so I think an event like this would be an extraordinary event. I mean, human beings are able to now, you know, observe these events, and in a technological way, we're able to predict them, we're able to study them. But some people in various religions, either basic or primal or neo-pagan, again, I think return to that kind of battle galactica between the spirits and the natural world.
Then, let's see, there's going to be, I think we have to deal with this, at least in some way, as a worldview, and that is the purely naturalistic worldview, which in its way has the hallmarks of a religion. But they're going to say this is nothing but a purely accidental astronomical event, the fact that the moon at times, when it passes over the face of our sun, exactly matches it in at least its perceived side to give us this phenomenon is both beautiful and terrifying. They say that's just our, and again, being the products of random evolution, that's just our brains responding in a certain way to something we can barely understand. They'll say there's nothing but accident taking place here. What would your response be?
I think that's right. I think the naturalist world would say, look, this is the way the universe is. This is the way the sun and the moon operate. This is a natural event. There's no designer. There's no ultimate explanation. The universe is. My response, though, is that, Todd, science is deeply dependent upon philosophical assumptions that can't be derived merely from the practice of science, that there's a real world, that math and logic are valid and sound, that humans have cognitive faculties and sensory organs that are reliable. What I'm arguing is that To do science, you have to ground and justify logic and reason. And the naturalist philosophy, the atheistic secular naturalism, have real difficulty accounting for reason, rationality, logic, for morality, for meaning, and for purpose. So yeah, naturalism can explain some things, but its scope of explanation is highly inadequate and insufficient. In some sense, I think the pagans at least recognize that, look, something's happening in this natural world, and it has its roots in the spiritual realm. Of course, they committed idolatry, but at least they, I think, had a sense that nature is grounded by some reality that I can't see. And atheism is powerfully unable to explain the things that are most meaningful in life, our reasoning, our moral choices, and that life has meaning and purpose and significance.
Finally, I wanted you to respond to a view that, while not biblical, does find a manifestation in Christianity. It has happened with the recent lunar eclipses, where the Earth's shadow passes in front of the moon. They're called blood moons, and there are prominent teachers who say, the blood moons are coming together. These were prophesied in the Old Testament, and it means this or that or the other thing. How would you caution us against reading too much into the signs that we observe in the heavens?
Yeah, I, of course, have a little book, Christian Endgame, where I talk about how to think and how to think carefully about prophecy and apocalyptic events. And one of the errors I think that Christians have made time and again, century after century, is false predictions. I mean, I really think that our prophecy, so-called prophecy experts, need to take Jesus' word seriously, that no one knows the day or the hour. I can understand looking at world events, wondering where we're at in the scheme of between the first and second coming of the Lord. I understand that, and the Bible talks a lot about the blessed hope, the second coming of the Lord. I think, however, you know, every time people have made predictions, I mean, there have been plenty of blood moons before. There have been plenty of eclipses before. You know, certainly today I'm one day closer to the second coming than I was yesterday. But I think it's also important to realize that people use speculation and false dating and predictions like this to try to caricature Christianity as just one more crazy religion. And I think when it comes to things that we don't have any control over, I think we need to use good biblical hermeneutics, good principles of interpretation, and look, in fact, for the way thoughtful Christians have approached these issues, because we can look kind of like the lunatic fringe, unfortunately. I've had atheists say to me, look at some of the predictions that didn't happen. And that's a source of concern. So eschatology is a very dynamic issue in Scripture, an important one, but I think caution is something that we should be included in the way that we look at all of these things.
Ken Samples is Senior Research Scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California. He's author of several books, including God Among the Sages, Why Jesus is Not Just Another Religious Leader, and A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test. When you purchase these books using the Amazon link at our website, a percentage of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, and look for God Among the Sages and A World of Difference by Ken Samples. Ken, thank you very much for being our guest.
Pleasure to be with you, Todd. Bye-bye.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Joy Pullman of The Federalist talking about two issues, and it gets more complicated with the every passing day. First, they're pulling down statues of Confederate heroes, genuine racist slaveholders, things like that. And then it's
then it's other statues, other monuments being desecrated. We'll also talk about the transgender agenda for our schools. Joy Pullman is next. Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com. The new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Why are there four Gospels? What happens to unborn babies when they die? What does it mean to fear God? Find faithful, Bible-based answers to tough theological questions when you read the August issue of The Lutheran Witness, a magazine of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness. To get 6 issues for only $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glories of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
At Edwardsville Lutheran Church in Zionsville, Indiana, God's Word and sacraments work to forgive sinners through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We invite you to join the rich heritage of traditional liturgy in our Sunday morning worship.
You can find us online at adventlutheran.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
The third and final book in the premier novel series for Christian women is out. The latest in the Anthems of Zion series is titled The Harvest Rays. It's written by Issues, Etc. regular guest Katie Schuerman. Learn more about The Harvest Rays at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Harvest Rays, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, 1-800-325-3040.
Ever attended an Issues Etc. conference or any number of events that take place across the Synod and wondered why more people from your congregation aren't there? Then check out the special seminar package the CLCC is offering for the 500th anniversary. All you need so your circuit can prepare, promote, and present a seminar that will appeal to all the members of your congregation, provided for free by the CLCC. Just go to theclcc.org, theclcc.org, and click on the blue box, or check us out on Facebook.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our Synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the Synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.